It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hello.
Good morning.
Let's go. Good morning. Well, good morning. It's good to see you. Can't see you. You can only see us if you go to YouTube. KHTK.
Untrue. I can see some pictures of people in the chat.
You can?
Kinda. That's definitely not Tim.
No, 100% that is not.
The pink R, definitely Rudy. But that picture Tim has is definitely not Tim.
Not Tim. Come on, get your picture. We should create a show gallery.
Oh, we need the old PTI, the heads on the sticks.
Oh my God! How about this? We could get a page on the website and do show galleries with like all the regulars, and like we'll even do like
a little bio.
Yeah, a little bio. meet the listeners.
Meet Chris. He's high and swims at the Y at 5 a.m.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome in. That is Justin Marshall. We call him Jay Mars. I am Dave. We'll take you all the way till 9. Jim Rome will come on the program and in the studio and do his thing as he does all the time. There are still people that think Jim Rome does his show from here.
I mean, he literally broadcasts it live on CBS. How do you not see that? That's the KHTK studios.
I know, right? Well, technically, I mean, not technically, I guess, but our engineers built that studio.
That is true.
That is a fact. They went down and built the studio. We have the best engineers in the world.
Our engineers have actually built a lot of studios.
They have.
They built Rome's. They built Rome.
They have built some absolutely amazing studios and this one.
I'm going to be honest. We do have the best studio of the four. Of the four stations here.
I agree. That is true. That is 100% true. I have something I want to whine about, and I shouldn't do it.
Okay, this won't end badly.
I want to state for the record.
June 15th, what could possibly he be whining about?
I want to state for the record, this is going to be a bad look for Carmichael Dave. But that's never stopped me before. This is really turning out to be a Clark Griswold National Lampoon situation this weekend.
Oh, I thought you were going to complain about something else. This is fine.
So... as I've said, taking the family to Disneyland this weekend. I'll be gone Friday, back perhaps Monday. We're going Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3-day passes, right? I bought these tickets in April, 25% capacity at Disneyland. I knew as the weeks went by that the odds of it being 25% capacity at Disneyland were next to none by the time I got there this weekend. Yesterday, the announcement finally comes the day before. See, today's the big grand reopening for California. Congratulations, everybody. Yesterday, Disneyland announces they're increasing capacity today. Now, no. Mm-mm. No, not clap. No, unclap, whatever the opposite of clap is.
That's a sarcastic clap.
Okay, thank you. More on that in a second. I have looked obsessively to find a number that they are increasing at because Disney has repeatedly said
100.
They have repeatedly said they will not be back to full capacity until fall, that it will be gradual increases. I don't know what they're increased to. Pat Tom and Cody said they're going to 100%. I said, I haven't seen that. I've seen that California says theme parks can go to 100%. But Disney isn't operating by those rules. They're releasing their own rules. They have not said. I've seen nowhere where
that is the Disney way, by the way.
Correct. Here's the best part. They're increasing capacity. And no longer do you have to wear a mask or social distance if you've been vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
The best part is how they're checking for vaccinations.
They're not.
It's the honor system.
Yeah, of course.
So for weeks, what I've been trying to do is I've been trying to get out of this trip.
Unsuccessfully.
Desperately. I have called Disney multiple times. The phone number they give you for customer service. At one point, I screenshotted even. I held for 3 hours and 36 minutes. Nothing. Two emails to Disney. Nothing.
These are non-refundable tickets.
Non-refundable, non-transferable.
Very interesting.
Well, especially because they're sold out.
That's what I mean. I'm sure someone would have gobbled them up.
Someone would gobble them up in seconds. Here I am, a guy with eight, because we're going down with our other little quarantine family. Eight tickets, three-day passes to Disneyland this weekend. Grand reopening. They're letting out-of-state people in, all that fun stuff. And I don't want to go. And I'm like, I'm good. I wanted the 25% thing. I don't want this. And it's going to be like 91 degrees there, which is not 100 and whatever it's going to be here.
No, but that's hot.
It's still hot.
To be outside all day.
It's still hot all day long. I mean, I'm going to end up hiding out on It's a Small World just for the air conditioning all day.
That's actually a really bad idea. Don't do that.
Burn in the sun or hide out on small.
Burn in the sun. Literally, burn in the sun is better.
I find it incredible that a multi-billion-dollar corporation like Disney, which is all like fun and games and, you know, hey, we're Disney. Hi, we're Disney. I can't. It's like calling a scam artist in Nebraska or something that telemarketed me. I can't get a hold of anybody. I can't ask about refunding the tickets. I know they're not refundable, but I was wondering, maybe is there a loophole here?
Transferable?
Because of the COVID thing. I don't know.
Why are they transferable?
I don't know.
Usually they'll give you a transfer option.
And this is my... Yeah, but then I have to find someone offline to sell them to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Not the most difficult thing in the world.
Not at all. I find it incredible that it's that difficult, and I'm thinking, well, I know they're non-refundable, but because of demand, on top of the fact that the COVID rules have completely changed, and let's be honest, dude, I'm vaccinated, my wife's vaccinated, my kids are through their first vaccination. They would get their second shot this Friday. They have to wait until Monday.
Wow, bro.
I know, right? Dude, that is like straight, like I'm not ready for full capacity Disneyland with no mask waiting in line, waiting inside with people. Like,
why? You'll be fine.
I'm good on that, dude. I'm really super.
You're Johnson & Johnson, right?
J&J.
Yeah, you have like 7 out of 10 chance of catching
COVID. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or 3 in 10, depending on how you look at it.
I like the big numbers.
Thank you. But I'm good. I'm good on all that. So I have one. This is going to be real interesting. I have one. It hit me this morning as I was up and looking at our prep sheet here. You may have wondered why I got on the, you probably saw my cursor on the 3 for Madness thing I was about to start writing, and then all of a sudden I got an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to dispute the charge.
What charge? Who charged you with something?
Yeah, the credit card.
You're going to dispute
I'm going to dispute the charge.
So you couldn't do show prep this morning because you got an idea to dispute your Disneyland charge?
Yes, but all right. Here's the thing. This segment is about that, so technically it was show
this
prep.
Segment's about anything.
Yeah, but this segment is about that.
No, this segment's about anything, literally anything. You could have, like, walked in here and
but
said,
I'm saying.
I have an itch in a spot I shouldn't have an itch.
I'm saying.
That means scratching yourself this morning would have been show prep.
What do you think the chances are that me disputing this charge for fraud against Disney?
Bro, this is for your kids, not you.
No, the kids don't care.
Because they don't know?
No. We told them a week ago. You know what the response was?
Oh, that's okay. What you told me.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's yeah, awesome. Disneyland, Daddy.
Yeah, I mean, that's
are they going to cool. have Wi-Fi?
My daughter's first thing, are they gonna have masks? That's a lot of pimple. Anyways.
Wonder who she takes after.
I would absolutely love nothing more than to get a and just go to a beach this weekend. Screw it. Screw Disneyland. How much you want to bet I'm not going to beat Disney on this one?
I am going to guess that you have zero chance of beating Disneyland.
I'd say 2%.
Nah, zero.
All right, we'll take a break.
Nobody beats the mouse.
That was nobody nice. Does.
Coming up next.
NBA playoffs last night, we had a doubleheader, and we have a double even score in two of them series, while the Phoenix Suns... Speaking of being at a beach, they're just chilling. Let's talk about that for sure. A's, Giants both continue to roll because, hey, wow, what do you know? They might be good teams. We got a lot to get to today. A couple of U.S. Open updates. Some Bob Costas audio. I'm so glad you put that in there. I saw that yesterday, too. It was awesome. We'll do all that right after this.
It's time for Leading Off, brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal in the Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com. Here's cut number one.
And after falling down 2-0 here in game four, the Clippers lead it the rest of the way and will come away with a crucial game four victory to tie this series at 2 games apiece. Final score from Staples Center, 118-104. The Clippers win it.
Wasn't even that close.
No.
Jazz are up 31-24 in the fourth. You look at that, if you saw the game, it wasn't that close.
No. There was literally a dead body at Staples Center.
R.I.P. Derek Favors,
my
man.
My gosh.
Oh, poor guy.
Like, shout out to Derek Favors for trying to contest the shot, as we talk about all the time. But that was just unnecessary by Kawhi.
There's a basketball statistical Twitter thing and website called StatMuse. Did you see what they posted? They posted a picture of Derek Favors. And then underneath where you'd see his bio and stats, it said, this player no longer exists in our database. That's cold, man.
Aggravated assault's a real thing, bro.
Woof. Kawhi Leonard has hops. My wife, however, had an observation about Kawhi Leonard, and it really bothers me because it's all I'm going to see now. He was doing the post-game interview, and if you haven't noticed yet, you will now notice every single time you see him in a standstill. He has these bumps on his shoulder blades that protrude on the top, and I've never seen that before, and it's all I can see now. I'm just telling you that next time you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. It looks like he has two little, half the size of ping pong balls on his shoulder blades on the tops between his shoulder and his collarbone. And I've never seen that before. I'm sure it exists. I've just never noticed it with Kawhi. That's not the top story from yesterday's game. That's just an observation my wife had. It's 2-2. And here's the deal. These two games in L.A. weren't close.
No.
The games in Utah were actually more competitive. So we got a real interesting situation going on there because on one hand, going to L.A. is like all the momentum's with Utah. Now all the momentum's with the Clippers. What a pivotal game five this is going
to
be.
I'm starting to see a trend, and we'll talk about this later. It's the trend of the quote-unquote switch that certain teams can hit at any time.
Yep.
I believe there's enough evidence to show the Clippers have that switch. And that's dangerous.
It's very,
very dangerous.
It's very dangerous because nobody was really looking at the Clippers going into the at all. I mean, they should have, but
Clippers were kind of an afterthought after the regular season.
Clippers were an afterthought behind the Lakers, who got bounced in the first round.
Yep.
Anyways, a lot more on that later. Number two.
Leading off, cut number two.
Here comes Jake Milton. Milton across, 3 seconds. Milton, right side to Curry. His three-pointer is too late, and the Atlanta Hawks have won. The Atlanta Hawks have defeated the Philadelphia 76ers.
Okay,
that call from 1982.
That's why I paused it. Does that not sound like it's from like 1956? Here, we'll play it again.
The Atlanta Hawks have won. The Atlanta Hawks have defeated the Philadelphia 76ers.
Pistol Pete had 44.
Right?
60 points for Connie Hawkins.
They went back in time, man.
That predates Dominique. It's so old.
My goodness gracious. Actually, it went back in time in the sense that the MLK court, the MLK jersey is awesome. And Atlanta. Oh, by the way, speaking of MLK, did you see Martin Luther King III tweeting Jason and Doug about coming on? How awesome is that?
That's pretty cool.
Like, seriously, frame that. They make a shirt out of that and wear it around. Like, I got to read everything. Anyways, Hawks come back to beat the Sixers 103-100. Outscored them 23-18 in the fourth. That was the difference in this one. I don't know, man. Like, this one's 2-2 as well.
Joel hurt, though.
Yeah.
That changes everything.
You wonder. I mean, 17-21 from the hurt guy, but the bounce isn't there.
Well, in the second half, he was 0-12.
Yeah.
You saw it. The first half is when you saw him really starting to linger. That second half, it was just abysmal.
4-8 in the first half, finishes 4-20.
Mm-hmm.
But 17, 21. Ben Simmons, just an assist shy of a triple-double on a day. He was named to the all-defensive first team. So the guy on Twitter I've been arguing with all along about would you trade the number one pick in the draft for Ben Simmons.
There's still people that wouldn't do that, huh?
Well, I think probably the majority of people wouldn't do that if I pulled it out, because the unknown is always more attractive than the known. But my point was never you absolutely...
I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
Dude, it is human nature that the unknown, like, yes, Ben Simmons is really good, but he can't shoot threes and this and that, whatever. Kate Cunningham could be the next Luka Doncic. I'll take him.
Yeah, I'm more along the lines of, like, present me the finished product that I already know is just going to be perfect for me versus the guessing game.
You mean a 24-year-old multi-time all-star, all-defensive first-team player that's a triple-double threat pretty much every night?
That good call.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to put this poll out.
Oh, I'm sure I'm in the minority. I believe you're...
I'm going to say, would you trade the number one pick in this year's draft for Ben Simmons? I'll bet you, I'll set the over-under... at 70% would say no.
Really?
70.
I'll take the under.
Okay. That's today's question. 103-100, 2-2 in this series.
Why do people think Ben Simmons sucks?
Because he can't shoot threes.
Well, he can't shoot, period, but I get it.
And also, he doesn't have, like, awesome dunks all the time.
And he's not, like, super funny and in a lot of commercials?
Nope. That's exactly right.
Okay.
You don't see him on the TikToks and the Twitters.
Dare I say, if the Kings had any pick and they swapped it for Ben Simmons, they would have a better record next year.
Would you?
I will go on the record and say that.
Would you trade De'Aaron Fox for Ben Simmons?
We've done that.
Okay.
I have been
I'm leading somewhere. Would you trade De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton for Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybul?
Yes.
Oh, God. Jay's getting booted out of this market. Cut number three.
Leading off. Cut number three.
Fletcher stands in, hands held high on the right side. 0-1. Slow curve, and that's poked into center field. Going out is Elvis. Behind second base, he's there. He makes the catch, and the A's win game one of the series against the Angels by an 8-5 final.
There's rolling, four in a row for the Athletics. Eight of their last 10, nine of their last 11, I believe. 41-27. Woo! 2.5 game lead over the Astros.
You know, I follow the A's on IG. They're getting a little loose.
Are
the social media team now. They were like in game, tagging the Angels. Like, guys, this is really fun. Are you having as much fun as we are? I'm like, stop picking on the little guy, small payroll, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, Orange County, California, United States. Like, stop.
I don't think that the A's should be talking any garbage on social media right now. Because, and I'm sure there's rules against this, but if I'm running the Angels' social media and they start getting at me, my response is, yeah, we're not having much fun. Hey, I wonder if Dave Cavill's going to be having fun in Vegas next week when he visits.
That's not nice.
LMAO. Like, I wonder if the Angels, but serious question, if the Angels responded like that, you think they get in trouble because that's like internal baseball?
Yeah, they probably get slapped on the wrist.
We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Oh, by the way, the Giants, they win 41-25 in a game ahead of the Dodgers who won't stop winning. All right, we'll get news with Ed Crane coming up next. We got a U.S. Open update for you as well. And let's get into these NBA playoffs. The all-defensive teams have been announced. Spoiler alert. Thank you, Jay. No Kings made the list. We'll get it. Or did they? Find out next.
When management finally gets tired and just gives up, the Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Let's get a quick U.S. Open update. U.S. Open coverage presented by Frank Cockrell at Retirement Security Centers. Birdie that financial future at Frank on the radio at rscenters.com. Not just birdie it. Eagle it.
Wow.
Albatross it. And if you really want, Frank will help you condor it. All real golf terms.
I think Condor is Frank's middle name. Frank Condor Cockrell.
Yeah, I agree. Also Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always, always, always about quality.
Hey, go golf. Bring your woods into the nature and then stop by Naturewood. Get some fine furniture.
Look at you.
Bonfire.
Golfing this afternoon. That'll be neat. This isn't
who you playing with. You got to force him?
My buddy Ron and his friends. I don't know. This isn't necessarily a U.S. Open update. I'm kind of fibbing here, but it is a golf update, a local one. I want to shout out our guy Taro, Makuni Taro, and our guy Phil Oates. They were playing in the Korn Ferry Pro-Am, the BMW Charity Pro-Am last weekend in South Carolina. Taro and his pro, his pro was on the Korn Ferry tour.
I'll say his pro's name was Ferry?
No, Korn Ferry is the tour.
Oh.
Which every time I hear Korn Ferry, I'm like, it's like a boat crossing water with like a bunch of cobs on it, you know? Yeah. I think of a ferry.
Yeah, I got it.
Anyways, they finished fifth.
Yes.
That's very well done in the high handicap part. Coach Oates, old Phil Oates, his team also finished. So, congratulations.
In the top.
And they were right there in the top. And a lot of fun was had by all.
Want a fun little U.S. Open factoid?
I would love it.
On this day, 41 years ago, the Silver Eagle, Jack Nicklaus, won his 16th major at the 1980 U.S. Open.
The Silver Eagle?
Yeah.
What is that?
It was Jack Nicklaus's nickname.
No.
Yeah?
What?
Yes.
The Golden Bear?
No, Silver Eagle.
It's not the Silver Eagle.
Bears don't play golf. Eagles, that's literally a golf term.
Not the Silver.
Have you seen his hair? It's not.
The Silver Eagle.
It's true. Jack Nicklaus, good golfer, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Silver Eagle.
Do you know where the 80 U.S. Open was played?
Shinnecock?
No.
No.
Baltistrol? Am I saying that right?
Yes. You nailed it.
Out there in Springfield, home of...
Home of what?
I think Bruce Springsteen. New Jersey? Or is he from Newark?
Who?
The Springsteen? Boss.
He's from Jersey. Somewhere in Jersey. And Newark is in New Jersey, by the way. You're killing it, dude. The Silver Eagle.
I gotta come up
with some more alternate, like Randy Large Piece Johnson. Remember him? He was
yes,
a great pitcher.
Large Piece.
I gotta start thinking.
The old man, King Griffey Jr.
Oh my God, Will the Excitement Clark. That was awesome. He was great.
Will the Underwhelm.
Let's see. It's we're gonna hear a highlight right now from Joel the. I can't think of something for process.
What's the opposite of process? What's an antonym?
Antonym for process? Yeah, I don't know. Here's Joel Embiid.
Gallinari guards Ben. Simmons to Seth Curry. Curry, top of the key, right hand dribble behind his back to Joel. Took a while to get out there. Two bounces. Joel catches, fires, three ball, good.
Here's Ben Simmons for a reason.
And the Sixers, the high screen roll, but Tobias picks up his dribble. And now to Embiid, down low Simmons with a catch. He goes over the top and lays it in. Ben Simmons from Joel Embiid. They reverse roles. Young can't guard the size of Simmons.
Okay.
I looked up antonyms of process. I got one.
Yeah.
Stoppage.
Oh, Joel, the stoppage Embiid. There it is. By the way, I just want to play the first part of this highlight just real quick. Tell me if you didn't know who this was. Does this voice on the play-by-play remind you of anyone?
And the Sixers, the high screen roll, but Tobias picks up his dribble.
Does not remind you of Mike Francesa.
And now to Embiid, down low Simmons with a catch. He goes over the top and lays it in.
Like if you hooked an IV of caffeine up to Francesa.
Well, sure. Speaking of Ben Simmons, 138 votes already in during the break. Would you trade the number one pick in the draft for Ben Simmons? I set the over-under at 70% would say no.
I got 60 saying no right now.
Let me put it this way. This poll so far, it's nice.
Ew.
It's nice.
Is it long?
69%.
Hey, now.
Say no.
So I'm winning currently.
You are currently winning right now. In the end, though, it was Trae Young. It was too much.
120 to go. Trae behind a pick. Trae drives. Trae's floater in the lane is good. And the Hawks lead.
And the Hawks lead. The Hawks would go on to win, and Doc Rivers was not happy.
We stopped passing. You know, I thought that we started the game off that way. Then we got back in the ball movement. Then we went back to hero basketball. you know, basically everybody wanted to be the hero instead of just trusting the team, trusting each other.
Trusting the process?
So when you do that, you usually lose, especially when the other team outworks you the whole game. And that's what they did today.
Wow.
Yo.
Look at Doc Rivers going all Michael Malone on the Sixers.
You got to chill on the language there, Doctor.
Jeez, family show, come Doc. On.
Figure it out, Glenn. My goodness gracious.
Well, like Glenn Lakes.
Nate McMillan, though, he didn't swear.
They didn't crack or anything like that. They stayed together, continued to work hard defensively. And this is what they've been doing all season long.
There's a final one. Joel Embiid on his evening.
I guess is already known. Don't need to us play myself anymore. Man, just try to do the best I can.
It was basically the name.
Yeah, just try to do the best I can.
Hmm. They don't have the audio in our folder, but I don't know if you caught last night. He was talking about, you know, when he started feeling the pain, and he cut himself off when the Kawhi dunk happened live in front of him. He was explaining, like, oh my God, did you just see that?
Right. So that series tied up at two. Total non sequitur here. I just wanted to play. How do you feel about Mike Malone, coach of the Denver Nuggets? Fan, not a fan?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
I love Mike Malone.
Do you think he knows basketball, or would you say he kind of knows basketball?
I would say he kind of sort of knows basketball. Also, that's in Soundgarden, so don't play it.
Oh, damn it. Is it really?
Yeah, look at the rundown, every blue moon.
I don't want to look down the rundown.
Coming up at 8:35.
I'd like to be surprised by the rundown. All right, Michael Malone coming up at Soundgarden. Shows his basketball knowledge and then some.
But there's also a former King showing basketball knowledge about the same thing.
Is he?
But a differing opinion.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Come on, him or Michael Malone, though.
Funny enough, who used to coach him?
Oh.
Michael Malone.
Okay, well, we'll hear from both Michael Malone and Isaiah Thomas on point guards.
The real Isaiah Thomas, not the one who used to play Detroit.
Not the one for Detroit. All right, 2-2 is that series. Interesting. They now go back to Philadelphia. Just a couple of real pivotal game fives. Here's a team that we're not talking about right now because they're the only ones not playing that are still in this thing, the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, they're at home just hanging out.
Right.
Enjoying the cool Arizona weather.
So we know that the Clippers-Jazz is going to go at least six games. Game five is on Wednesday. Game six is on Friday, and we could have two game sevens, Hawks, Sixers, Clippers, Jazz, on Sunday. So today is...
That's what we want, right? I'm here for that.
Well, I'm 100% here for that. So today is Tuesday. The Suns won Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. If you're Monty Williams, it's a serious question, then we'll take a break. If you're Monty Williams, do you take, and don't laugh at me, do you take your team on Monday? Do you take your...
This coming Monday or
yesterday? No,
Monday?
I'm saying yesterday or even today. And now that you know this series is going, your series with the Clippers will at minimum probably not start for about a week.
Wow, you're already predicting the Clippers as the winner.
Or excuse me, I didn't mean
that. I was
going
to say,
or the Jazz. Or either way, even if it only goes six, probably not starting till Monday or Tuesday. So here's my question. Do you take the whole team and take them to Hawaii?
No. Why would you do that?
Or Mexico?
No.
No?
No, you got to stay focused. Stay sharp.
No. I'm not saying everyone hangs out on the beach and has
drinks.
Well,
what are they going to do?
I said don't laugh at me because I've thought this out. No, you have your advanced team. You secure a gym. You do all that.
Why in Mexico or Hawaii?
You go to a nice place out of Phoenix where it's 120 degrees.
No.
It's literally 120 degrees a day.
So they're in the AC.
And practice and have fun.
I forgot. You're right, because gyms in Phoenix don't have any air conditioning. They're really bad.
So you're saying you keep them in the heat. You know,
yes.
No way. I take them somewhere. Hey, guys, we're going to rest and reload.
Right, and that's why Monty Williams is a successful NBA coach, and you're you.
If the Suns don't win the finals, come back to today. That's why.
Okay.
Because they weren't relaxed.
It.
We'll take a break. Phil Jackson would.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
No, Phil Jackson would have him doing naked yoga next to a cactus.
In Hawaii.
No, there's no cactuses in Hawaii.
Cacti. When we get back.
Is that true? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Pro? Cacti.
Oh, my bad.
Bob Costas, after the 1998 NBA Finals, when Michael Jordan won the thing with the deal and put it in the all. Yeah, unearthed some audio from him, and it's scary. Is Bob Costas, is he Nostra Costas? We'll find out next.
The number 12 mid-market sports morning show in the country. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
Let's take a quick check here. At our Ben Simmons poll. Today.
Can you refresh it since you showed it to me 4 minutes ago?
Sure. Today's question. Would you trade the number one pick in the draft? Just imagine the Kings get the number one pick. And Philly calls up Daryl Morey and says, hey, we'll give you Ben Simmons straight up. Now, I know it doesn't work with the money. Don't worry about that. They'll figure it out.
We'll put filler in there.
Right.
Our old friend.
So the question is, would you trade the number one pick for Ben Simmons? Now, I said on the air last segment, the over-under I said on this is 70%.
70% would say no,
would
right?
Would say no. Jay took the under. We said on the air it was at 69% no early on. As we went to break, I showed Jay 70%. It was exactly 70-30. So that's a push. Let me update right now. Back down to 69%. 69% say no, they would not trade the number one pick in the draft for Ben Simmons.
Which means 31% of Twitter has some sense.
Well, it's funny because the first two comments are, yes, of course, Ben Simmons would take us to the playoffs. And
factual. And, like, if you just added Ben Simmons' team, you would be a playoff team.
And this one's a bit, I don't know what you call it. Yes, people who think the draft is better than a known commodity are just buying the NBA's marketing ploy for ratings on draft day.
That's a thing?
I guess.
Did not have that on my conspiracy theory bingo card either. This morning.
That's my guy, Philip, in Indiana, who I met on the RV trip, who's a huge Kings fan, and he is always there for that. We do have breaking news. That's why I played the sounder out of the NBA. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Nets have upgraded James Harden to doubtful.
Oh, okay.
For game 5.
AKA James Harden will not be playing.
So instead of James Harden definitely not playing.
He's almost definitely not playing.
Oh, yeah. He's almost certainly not playing. Also, a secondary poll. It's a bonus two-poll question day.
Two-poll?
If your son's coach, Monty Williams, and you know you don't play till next week, do you take the team on a mini vacation to focus up? So far, very early on, 72% say yes, they would.
Wow, your timeline is dumb.
I'm just kidding. It's 72% say no.
Wow, your timeline is hecka smart.
After Michael Jordan, we told you about the anniversary yesterday, after Michael Jordan pushed off of Byron Russell and won the 1998 NBA Finals, Bob Costas, who, remember, NBA and NBC was such a thing for kids of the 90s, Round Ball Rock and Bob Costas and NBC, that was NBA basketball. Including
with a sprinkle of Peter Vesey and Hannah Storm.
Yes.
And Ahmad Rashad.
Oh, boy, is Peter Vesey not aged well, by the way. And I'm not talking about appearances. I'm talking about mentally.
Yeah.
My God.
Old Vess just be out there.
If you'd have told me back then that Peter Vesey and Rick Bucher's career arcs are a roller coaster of just when it goes down.
Dare I say Bucher's has not gone down as far as Vesey
you're
did.
You're correct.
Vesey in the 90s on NBC was like, he was like the insider guy.
Right, and now he's turned into some crackpot, weirdo, crazy ball. Remember when he called Vivek Aladdin
yes,
on Twitter?
Yes, I remember it well.
He's still around after that.
Yeah. It's because nobody cares about Peter Vesey.
I guess you're 100% correct. What a freaking weirdo. Anyway, I mean, seriously, what a weirdo. So now we have found audio that kind of, it's not like it was in some archive out of nowhere, but it's not like we're talking about 1956. This is Bob Costas in 98 doing one of his patented Bob Costas monologues at the sign-off. Listen to what he says, though, when he starts talking about the future of the National Basketball Association.
Well, for Bulls fans, there is, of course, cause for celebration tonight after a sixth championship that came harder than the others. but there's some anxiousness mixed in as well. Who knows how all of this will play out, but it's certainly possible that tonight we saw the last of the Chicago Bulls as we have known them. And whether it ends here or sometime in the near future, it'll be noteworthy not just for the breakup of one of the great teams in sports history, but because given the present structure of pro sports, it may be quite a while before we see anything like this again. Oh, the organizations that have the resources, the Yankees, the Braves, the Cowboys, the Lakers, and the NBA, will almost always field contending teams, but the days of continuity may be ending. Even on the best teams, there's now so much turnover that it's becoming ever harder to follow and identify with teams. Loyalty has been fragmented, which brings us to an underappreciated aspect of this golden era in the NBA. It hasn't just been Bird, Magic, and Michael. It was the whole recognizable cast of characters around them that gave the Celtics, the Lakers, and the Bulls their texture and made following them all the more interesting. Even the Jazz, noble runners-up 2 years in a row, are personified by the longest-tenured coach in the league and two Hall of Famers who have been teammates for well over a decade. We'll see championship teams in the future, but will we see teams that endure this way? And as for Michael Jordan, all the superlatives have been exhausted and almost all apply. But perhaps the most important one is this. He's authentic. His essence is so much deeper than image. In fact, the image is, in his case, an amplification of something true and substantive. Take all the money, all the adulation, all the TV cameras away, and put Michael Jordan in a gym somewhere with Russell and Oscar, West and the Doctor, and he'd be as genuine and as much in his element as any of them. His heart and his athletic integrity, every bit as impressive as his artistry.
Hmm. Now, that was nice things he said about Michael.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting when he talked about how the NBA is moving along.
Team building, continuity, players switching teams constantly.
But here's where the storyline gets really interesting. Because Milwaukee, by the way, all three remaining series are tied at two, which is fantastic. Brooklyn is facing Milwaukee, who drafted Giannis Antetokounmpo and who drafted many of
Chris Middleton,
Dante DiVincenzo, a lot of, you know, they had Drew Holiday, but
first team all defense Drew Holiday.
Their core was drafted. Atlanta, led by Trae Young and John Collins, drafted. Playing Philadelphia, led by Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and that's the whole process you want to talk about. Matisse Thybulle, homegrown. And then you have the Clippers, a super team, quote-unquote. They're playing the Jazz, led by Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Joe Ingles.
Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, two guys that were drafted by the Nuggets.
Right. But for all intents and purposes, and you're correct, for all intents and purposes, and by the way, it's all intents and purposes, please. Not all intensive. Drives me crazy. Utah is also a homegrown team. So you have the Nets and you have the and you have the Clippers that are technically super teams. They're in the super team category.
No, you have to say it. Super.
But the other teams are all homegrown.
The interesting part is, how long will those homegrown teams last?
In the playoffs, you mean?
Just period.
That I don't know.
How long is the Mitchell-Gobert partnership going to last? How long is Trae Young, John Collins going to last?
I'm here to tell you something as we take a break that I don't think is a hot take. We have not seen a playoff, we have not seen a postseason like this in our lifetimes. And it's the second year in a row.
In our lifetimes?
In our lifetimes. We have not seen a postseason this wide open. And I'm here for the Chauncey Billups-led Pistons. I understand there have been upstarts.
They will be coming up, by the way, once in a blue moon today.
But after last year's COVID playoffs, which were obviously unique, this year, we haven't seen it this wide open. And the fact that almost every team left in the playoffs has either never won a championship or had won a championship since most people listening to the show were born. That, to me, is incredibly interesting. Plus, you have super team versus homegrown.
I'm going to go look through this because I think you might be onto something. Interesting take.
Also, are the Suns a homegrown team, technically, in your mind?
No.
They added Chris Paul.
Too much.
But everybody else is homegrown.
Right, but the superstar that is the reason why they're there is not.
7-0 last year without him in the ball.
Didn't make the playoffs
either. We'll take a break. Yeah!
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All righty. This is a fun Soundgarden. We have Charles Barkley talking about getting swept or not getting swept. And then we've got two all-time Kings greats, Isaiah Thomas and Michael Malone, weighing in on the best point guards of all time. Special focus on what Michael Malone says because he's right. We'll do all that right after this.